Matthew. We're going to turn me in God's Word to Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, we have a lot going on here in Mark, and Jesus Christ is portrayed as a servant. He's portrayed as an ox in Mark. He's the perfect servant. He's serving the Lord Jesus. He's serving God, his Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is here. It doesn't mention anything about his genealogy. It don't mention anything about his birth. It just mentions about his works, about his service to the Lord. And we have here a miracle that's performed in Mark chapter 10. And let's begin reading in verse 46, if you will. We'll not turn anywhere else in the Word of God this morning, but we'll stay right here in the passage of Scripture that we have. We're talking about blind Bartimaeus. He's a man, if you're a student of the Bible, if you read your Bible, you realize the name Bartimaeus means the son of a blind man. And we'll read about this story here about blind Bartimaeus. Let's look here, if you would, in verse 46 of Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Of course, this morning, this miracle we have before us is a great illustration about salvation. How the Bible says a blind man called out to Christ. I want you to notice what it says in verse 46. It called him Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus means, the name means, the son of a blind man. Can you imagine, my friend, here's the man, they called him Bartimaeus. It means the son of a blind man. What was his father's name? His father's name was mentioned in verse 46. It says here, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Timaeus means a blind man. So we have a blind man that my friend, something took place, and he got married, and him and his wife conceived a child, and as she gave birth to a young son, a young boy, the boy is born blind. So you have a blind man that's giving birth or making children that's born blind. What is that telling us? It's telling us that sin is inherited, my friend, that we're sinners by birth. Here this blind man had a son that was blind, and they called him Bartimaeus, the son of a blind man. And how he come to Jesus, how Jesus came to him. They met together, and they got saved. He got saved, and his life was changed. I want to tell you, I'm going to preach to the Christian here in just a few minutes. But if you're lost without Jesus Christ, I want you to know that the Savior is seeking the sinner. He's come into the world to seek those who are lost. The Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save those which are lost." You've got someone named Jesus Christ who is searching hearts this morning, who is willing to save lives this morning if you'll just come to Him. The Savior is seeking the sinner. And when the sinner starts seeking the Savior, business takes place then, my friend. Jesus Christ gave His life for you to be saved. It's not until you realize that you need to be saved that then and only then can you get saved. And it's not, my friend, you're saying, "Wham, bam, I'm going to get saved whenever I want to." It's only when Christ draws you. It's only when Jesus Christ speaks to your heart that you can get saved by God's amazing grace. If you get in a car accident, and for just a split second, you might think about life. You might think about decisions. But my friend, it's not until Christ draws you then you can get saved. It's not some deathbed conversions. I know people get saved on a deathbed. That's wonderful. That's great. I've been there. I've seen it happen. I've took part in it. That's wonderful. When anybody and everybody can get saved, my friend, but you won't get saved till Christ draws you. But I want you to notice here in verse 47, and this will be where we'll be preaching this morning, in verse 47. I want you to read it one more time with me. The Bible says here, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And we can picture him as a lost sinner that needs to be saved. But I want you to picture him this morning as a saved man that needs some help. Here the Bible says he's blind. You know what blind means? It means you can't see. It means you don't know what's going on. It means, my friend, you're confused. You don't know the outcome. You don't know what's taking place in front of you. Do we have any Christians in God's house this morning that you can say, preacher, sometimes I'm blind. I don't know what's going on. I can't see God's hands of blessing. I don't know what's taking place. I don't see what's in front of me. Just sometimes it seems like I'm blind. Here, blind Bartimaeus, he couldn't see. He was a blind man. And the Bible says he done something that I believe all of us needs to do. He cried out to Jesus Christ. I'm going to try to preach this morning the cry of a blind man. This blind man cried out, and we can all learn something from him this morning. He was sitting by the highway begging. Boy, Jericho was a place of great victory. God made the walls of Jericho fall down and sent Rahab the harlot. She put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ, was saved, and only her house remained standing. Jericho was a place where great battles took place and God's people was victorious. It was a place that was surrounded by water. Jericho was a place that was well watered. It had fertile ground. It had great grazing areas in it. But in the New Testament, it's a place of confusion. It's a place of drought. It's a place where nothing is taking place. And it's amazing how the Bible says Jesus went there and then left. Hey, my friend, you don't need to be a part of something that's dead. You don't need to be part of something that's no good. You might be here this morning visiting with us. I'm not trying to apostolate. I'm not trying to get you to come here. But I'm saying every Christian needs to be a part of a church where God shows up and the preacher preaches the word of God and something takes place in the life and hearts of his people. It says here that blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the highway side of begging. Boy, many times I beg God to do something. Many times I ask God to do something. Many times I'm blind. I don't know what to ask. I don't know how to ask for. And I just lifted my voice up to God and say, oh God, I need your help. You ever been there? Well, you just lift your voice and say, oh God, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to put into words, but God, I sure do know I need your help. I want you to look at a few things with me this morning. The listening before the cry. Look at what it says here in verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Hey, the man couldn't see, but he sure could hear. The Bible says that the man heard it was Jesus of Nazareth. You said, preacher, what you're saying this morning. Hey, when you're blind and you don't know what's going on around you and you cried out to God. Hey, my friend, it's time to do what you know is right to do. Here, the blind man, he heard that Jesus Christ was coming near. I want you to know something. He used what he had to get in touch with God. You say, preacher, what you're talking about? Hey, my friend, when rough times and hard times come and you're blind to the goodness of God, it's not time to quit. It's not time, my friend, to get the white towel and say, God, I can't see your goodness. I can't see your favor. I'm going to just throw in the towel and quit. Hey, my friend, the Bible says this blind man heard what was taking place. He used what he had to get in touch with Jesus. All of us today, we have something we can use for God's glory. You say, preacher, I can't preach. Well, that's good. You said, I can't teach. Well, that's all right. You say, I can't sing. Well, that's all right. God's given every one of us a gift to be used for him. I don't know what it might be. Brother Jeff can sing. Brother Jeff can preach. Hey, Brother Jeff can teach. Hey, Brother Jeff can take his handcuffs and lock you up and beat you in the head and throw you in prison and nothing will be said about it. Hey, my friend, I can't sing. I can't hardly teach. God's given me a voice. I try to use it to preach with. We're not all the same, but my friend, we're all one body, and we should be using this body for the glory of God. My friend, he heard God and he used what he had to get in touch with Jesus. Boy, it's not time to quit. When times get hard, it's not time to quit. When times get rough, it's not time to quit. When times is difficult, it's not time to throw in the towel and say, Lord, I had enough. I can't go on no more. Hey, just keep on using what you got, and I believe God will bless it. I talked to a preacher the other day. He was a preacher that was pastoring, I believe he said, 1,200 people in his church at one time. 1,200 people. I couldn't imagine that. I couldn't imagine having 1,200 people and every one of them with a different problem. And you're trying to help them. You're trying to have compassion. You're trying to be concerned for them. Now I asked him, I said, you got any advice for a young preacher? He said, well, the only advice I can give you is to keep praying, to keep preaching God's word, and keep knocking on doors. I said, so in other words, you're saying just do more of the same. He said, if that's what you've been doing, just do more of the same. He said, just do what you've been doing. Hey, my friend, I'm going to tell you, if you don't know what's going on, you're blind in life, you can't see God's goodness, and you have no idea what's taking place, hey, just keep on doing what you know that's right to do. It's not time to quit. It's not time to stop. It's not time to put a halt on what you're doing for God. Hey, just use what God's given you for him and his glory. Here the blind man heard before he cried out. But he did cry out. And I appreciate it being here. I want you to look at the loudness of the cry in verse 47. The Bible says when he heard that, it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. If you take this word and study out, it means to scream. Boy, he just wasn't some kind of average Christian where he got in trouble and he just said, hey, pray for me. Just pray for me. He is a man that knew he needed something from Jesus. And the Bible says he began to cry out. I believe it was a scream to the top of his voice. He couldn't see what was taking place, but he heard Jesus was coming by. And I believe blind Bartimaeus, he might have lifted up his hand and said, hey, Jesus, it's me. I sure need your help. Sometimes we just need to cry out. Sometimes, as Brother Jeff preached a while back, sometimes we just need to cry. Brother Al told me tears is a language that only angels can understand. Sometimes we need to shed tears. And sometimes, my friend, we need to call out to Christ. We're going through this because we're going somewhere this morning. I want you to follow along with me. The loudness of the cry. The Bible says that here he began to cry out. He heard that Christ was coming by. He realized he had a problem and he began to cry out. It's time for us as Christians to begin to cry out, my friend. This is the day we need to cry out and say, oh God, we need your help. He started screaming. He wasn't going to let the Lord pass him by. He wasn't going to allow the Lord to get past him without him telling the Lord what he needs. Hey, not only the loudness of his cry, but the lauding of his cry. You say, what in the world is that? We don't use that word much. It means praise. It means respect. It means honor. Notice what he says here in verse 40 and verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and said, Jesus, thou son of David. Boy, when he got in trouble, he needed Jesus Christ. He didn't say, well, big man upstairs, I need your help. He didn't say, your old buddy, your old pal. He said, hey, you're the Lord Jesus Christ, the son of David. Hey, my friend, I'm going to tell us his time and age where we're living in. We need to have respect for who Jesus Christ is. He's not the big man upstairs. He's not just the master. He's not just your best friend. He's not just Jesus. The Bible says he's Jesus Christ, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He's not someone you run to and grab the hammer and break the glass and in a case of emergency. He's the one that we trust in every day. We worked at Blumenthal Mills and it had a big old glass. It had a red metal bin on the wall with a glass front, and it had a hammer with a chain attached to the end of the hammer to the cabinet, and it says, in case of emergency, break the glass. You break the glass, the alarm will sound, you grab a fire hose and start putting out the fire. Many Christians have got a 911 God. Just when emergency comes is the only time you need them. Just when trouble comes is the only time you need them. Hey, my friend, when you don't understand and trouble comes, that's when you come to church and search God and look for God and read your Bible and prayer. But hey, this blind man, he realized that God wasn't some 911 God, just some weekend Savior. Hey, Jesus Christ was there, my friend, and he demanded to be respected. He demanded to be praised. He demanded to be honored. And the blind man has never laid his eyes on Jesus Christ. He said, hey, thou son of David. He realized who Jesus Christ was. Do we realize who he is today? Do we realize, my friend, as a Christian, every time we walk out of our house, we represent who Jesus Christ is? Every time we go on the job, every outer word we say, everything we allow to go into our bodies and on our bodies is representing who Jesus Christ is to a lost and dying world. I want you to know the Bible, my friend, plainly says that we're the only Bible that some people will ever read. Paul said, hey, you're the testimony that the world is looking at of who Jesus Christ is. And my friend, it should get us stirred up about what's going on in churches today. We talked to a man who was in Florence the other day. My wife's favorite place, the Hobby Lobby. Anybody likes the Hobby Lobby? Boy, you go there and search and look. You find everything you want. Can't afford none of it. She went there. She was talking to him. And I don't know if we gave him a track or whatever it was, but the man said, y'all are an independent Baptist church? I said, yeah. He said, where y'all at? We said, Marion. He said, I know there was one right around there. He said, let me ask you a question. Are you really an independent Baptist? I said, I reckon. And I told him what we believed, told him what was going on. And he said, I reckon you are then. He said, looking at us, he said, I didn't believe there was one of y'all around this place anywhere. He said, I wish I would have known it a year ago. I would have come to your church. But he said, now I've done a move. I moved to a church that believed like I did. And I lived too close to them to leave them to go to you. I want you to know, my friend, if you're saved today, it don't matter if you're an independent Baptist or a free will Baptist, Church of God. If you're saved today, hey, people is looking at your life and they're demonstrating what kind of God you have by the way you live, by what you say, by where you go, by what you do, the things you engage in. Hey, I'm not mad at anyone this morning but the devil. Here, the blind Bartimaeus, he had enough of respect for God to call him the Son of David. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, he had enough of respect for God to call him by his right name. I believe, my friend, if God's good enough to save us, and God's good enough to keep us, and God's good enough to change our lives, we ought to have enough of respect for the one who spoke the world into existence to at least call him by his right name. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's Emmanuel, God with us. The Bible says he's the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. The Bible says he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning, end, the first and last. He that was dead and yet is alive forevermore. Amen. My friend, he's not dead. We don't have some dead God. We've got a live God. We don't have some dead Savior. We've got a live Savior. Hey, we don't have some dead book. We've got a live book. Hey, you take this Bible and you read it from cover to cover, and next time you read it, it'll say something totally different to you. I've read verses, my friend, that's helped me out when I was sick, that's helped me out when I was grieving, that helped me out, my friend, when I was suffering, that's helped me out when I was in pain. Hey, God can use anything and everything he chooses, my friend, to help us out in our lives, but he has chosen to use his Bible, to use his people, and to use his Holy Spirit to help us who claims ourselves to be Christians. Blind Bartimaeus used what he had when he was in need. Blind Bartimaeus cried out with a loud voice when Christ come by. Blind Bartimaeus, he used a respectful tone, a respectful voice as he called out to Jesus Christ. You know what that tells me? Boy, that tells me this morning we didn't have respect and fear and honor for the Lord because he's still God. And I want you to notice this one last thing just for an introduction this morning of verse 47. The Bible says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Notice that last part, have mercy on me. You know what Bartimaeus said? He said, Lord, don't give me what I deserve. Give me mercy. We can't ask God to give us what we deserve. If you got what you deserve, you'd be in hell today. If this old preacher boy got what he deserved, I'd be in hell today. As one preacher said, I'd be in hell when my back broke. I don't deserve God's goodness. I don't deserve God's blessings. I don't deserve God's favor. I don't deserve God's strength. I don't deserve to be a preacher. I don't deserve to be saved. I can't earn it. I can't marry it. I can't buy it. I can't achieve it. I can't accomplish it. All I can do is come to the Savior and say, Lord, have mercy on me. And my friend, 8 years and some months ago, Jesus Christ had enough of mercy on me to forgive my sins and made me justified died in the precious blood of Jesus. I want to tell you something, my friend. The cry of a blind man, the cry when we call out to God, it don't exalt ourselves, but it humbles us down to get us to realize, hey, God, don't give me what I deserve, but give me what I need. Oh, I need mercy today. I don't need what I merit. I merit. I don't need what I deserve. If I got what I deserve, I'll be in the same boat you're in. But I need God's mercy. The Bible says His mercy endureth forever. Thank God when you mess up, like I mess up. Thank God when you come short, like I come short. You know what sin means? It means missing the mark. Boy, how many of us has missed the mark this past week? Oh, I know I have. But I've not hit a bullseye every time. I've missed a bullseye every once in a while. And boy, when I come short, I don't need what I deserve. I need mercy. And God says, I can give you mercy. God says, I got enough of mercy in me that you will never exhaust it. You can never complete it. You can never use all of it. I got enough of mercy that will cover you as long as you live. Hey, when I get in trouble, I don't need merit. I need grace. Hey, God's riches at Christ's expense. Hey, I need grace, my friend. Grace is God giving to us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve to go to heaven. We don't deserve to be in a church this morning. But God, my friend, in loving kindness, He gives us grace every day to live. Grace is God giving to us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God holding back to us what we do deserve. Thank God He don't give us what we deserve, but He gives us grace. Here this blind man say, hey, Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of David, I need mercy. I need mercy. You know what that's telling me, church? It's telling me that pride's an awful thing. When you believe you can do it, when I believe I can do it, when you call out and say, God, I need you. Because I can't do it. And you can't do it. A lot of things going on in your church life. A lot of things going on here. But we need God's help in every bit of it. I need God's help with my family. No matter how many crazy books you read. It don't matter what Dr. Phil or Oprah Winfrey say on TV. You're going to need God's help to raise a family. If you're going to be a husband, you're going to need God's help. It's not some gentleman's book. It's not some kind of class you can go to. Hey, it's God that's going to make you the husband that you need to be. And it's going to be God to make you to be the wife that you need to be for your husband and a mother for your children. It's only God can do that. Hey, you listen to Oprah Phil. You listen to soap operas. You listen to all that thing on TV. It's just going to ruin your mind. What you need is a double dose of God's holy word and a time of prayer to make you the person that God wants you to be, my friend. The only way these children can be the children God wants them to be is to spend time in God's word and spend time with the Lord. Hey, my friend, I'm going to tell us when we have blindness, when we can't see what's going on and we don't understand what's going on, just use what you've got, my friend, and cry out to God with a loud voice and don't stop crying out. Just call and call and call, and my friend, realize who Jesus Christ is, and my friend, realize who we are. We're nobody. We're nobody. You know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at a bunch of nobodies. I'm looking at a bunch of people who's made out of dust. We're not even made out of dirt. Dirt, you can see dirt. Dirt, you can pick dirt up and hold it in your hand and feel the grains. Hey, the Bible says we're not made out of dirt, that we're made out of the dust of the ground. You know what dust is? You can't even hardly see dust by itself. You can't even feel dust on your hands. Just one little speck of dust. You can't even feel it. You can't even see it. Hey, God says you're not even good as dirt. You're just dust. Well, that's pretty low, ain't it? You ever thought about that? We're dust. We're not dirt. Not clay, we're dust. My friend, we need the Lord. And He needs us. Amen. He needs you to serve Him, to live for Him, to praise Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him, to call out to Him, tell others about Him. And we need Him because we can't live this life without Him. We can't live this life without Him. The cry of the blind man. I want you to notice this with me. In verse 47, the Bible says that when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. My friend, many times when we take what we have and use it for the Lord, this is what's going to happen. Look here, if you would, in verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Ain't that something, Brother John? Boy, when you're blind and you can't see what's going on and you're just doing the best you can using what you got for the Lord, many of them say, hey, just stop it. Hey, just quit it. Just don't even worry about it. Hey, when you don't understand, when finances are bad and the offering plate passes in front of you and you still put your 10% in there, hey, you don't have a job, you're not going to a job Monday, you're not earning a paycheck, you can't pay tithes because you didn't receive tithes. Hey, my friend, but I'm going to tell you, when you work at a job and times is hard and incomes is low and bills is high and offering plate passes in front of you and you still put your tithes in there, the old devil says, you fool, why don't you use the money to buy groceries? You fool, won't you use the money to pay your bills off? Hey, sometimes when you're blind and you can't see what's going on and you still do what's right, there's going to be many people that's going to charge you just to quit and stop and not do it again. This blind man doing the best he can. And when he heard that it was Jesus, I believe he got up in an uproar. He said, hey, Jesus Christ is coming. Maybe I can talk to him. Maybe he can help me out. Maybe, hey, brother in Christ, I got a problem, and maybe I can talk to Jesus about it, and Jesus can fix it. And they said, hey, Jesus can't fix your problem. He's not worried about you. He's not concerned about you. You go to a sister in Christ and say, hey, sister, I've got this problem. I don't know what to do. I'm looking for God to fix it. And she looks at you and says, hey, God's not going to fix it. Hey, God can't fix it. And God doesn't even care about you. I want you to know the Bible says when this blind man began to call out to God, there's many people who said, hey, just sit down and let the Savior pass you by. But I'm telling you this morning to call out. Hey, cry out. Don't worry about what the world say. Don't worry about what the devil say. Don't worry about what a brother or sister might say. Hey, my friend, just keep on doing what you know that's right to do. And on that, but when he called out, but when he began to scream out loud, I like this. Look at verse 47. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. What happens when you begin to cry out? Look here, if you would, in verse 49. And Jesus stood still. Why ain't that something? Brother Jeff, can I use you for a minute? Hope I don't embarrass you. Here, blind Bartimaeus sitting by the highway. Sit down there for me. Blind Bartimaeus can't see Jesus coming, but he knows Jesus is coming. He heard that Jesus Christ was coming. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is coming. And he got a little bit of excited. He got a little bit of happiness. He got a little bit of joy. And he told some of his comrades, he said, hey, when Jesus come by, I'm going to stop him for just a few minutes and talk to him. They looked at blind Bartimaeus and said, hey, don't waste your time. But the Bible says he cried out. When Jesus was walking, blind Bartimaeus, he couldn't see him, but he cried out, cry out. Say, Lord, help me.
Lord, help me.
The Bible says, Jesus stood still. Jesus had enough of concern and care about Bartimaeus that on his trip going out of Jericho, he made him stand still. Ain't that something? The Savior of the world, the Son of God Almighty, stands still when we call out to him. As busy as I can be, as busy as you can be, sometimes our children will come to us and sometimes my boys will say, Daddy, you want to throw a ball? And I say, no, son, I'm too busy right now. Sometimes we'll get too busy and my daughters, they almost like tomboys. They say, Daddy, will you take us fish? And I say, I'm just too busy right now. Hey, but Jesus Christ is never too busy. Hey, when you call out to Jesus Christ, the Bible says he stood still. And stay right there, Brother Jeff. I want to tell you what else is going on here, if you would. In verse 49, the Bible says, when this blind man called out, in verse 49, the Bible says, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Hey, blind Bartimaeus, can't do nothing, sitting by the highway begging. When he heard Jesus was coming, hey, Jesus got close to him. Blind Bartimaeus, hey, cry out real loud, say, Lord, help me. Hey, Jesus Christ was walking, and he began to cry out.
Lord, help me.
He looked right at him. He said, hey, you, and you, go get that boy and bring him here. Not only does Jesus stand still, but Jesus calls for you. Ain't that something? Church, I'm trying to help you this morning. Thank you, Brother Jeff. When you have problems and you keep calling out to God and people's telling you it's ridiculous, People telling you it's a lost cause. People telling you it just don't even worry about it. When you call out to God, your voice, my friend, it makes Jesus Christ stand still. And you're so important. And he'll say, hey, I want him to come to me. I want him to close the distance, to come to me, to realize it's me that he needs. I want you to know something, my friend. When you use what you got for the Lord, you're going to have some people that say, hey, stop wasting what you got. Stop using what you got. Just use it for yourself. And when you call out to God and ask the Lord for help, the Bible says Jesus will stand still. And when you use fear and reverence and honor for God, I want you to notice what the Bible says. In verse 50, the Bible says, and he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. When you treat God the way God should be treated, then we can stand in the very presence of God. What are you saying, preacher? When you live your life in such a way that's well-pleasing to God, you can live in God's presence. See, God don't like sin. And God can't be around sin. God has to get away from sin or get sin away from him. But when we can live our lives the way God wants us to live our lives, we can live in the very presence of God every day. My friend, that helps me to know that God's always near. When I do what I should, God's near. But I want to show you this last thing. When he called out, he kept screaming. He used the right language. He spoke in the right way. And the Bible says, he said, Lord, have mercy on me. Notice what it says here in verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say this morning? I'm trying to say this. Sometimes I'm like blind Bartimaeus. I don't understand what's going on. I can't see out there in the future and know how things is going to be. But I pray for people and ask people and help people, and I just don't understand sometimes what's going on. You ever get like that? Just keep on doing what you know that's right to do. Don't stop doing what's right. Keep on calling out to God. You say, my husband, my wife, my children. Hey, just keep calling out to God. He's hearing your prayers. He'll stop in the very midst of your problems, and he'll call you to come to him. Hey, my friend, and then when you use the right fear and reverence and honor to God, you can live in his very presence. And the Bible says this. The Bible says, when he said, Lord, have mercy on me, the Bible says immediately he received his sight. I'm going to tell you, if we just keep calling out and just keep begging God and keep praising God and keep lifting Jesus Christ up, hey, God will answer your prayers, and God will do what needs to be done, not on your time but his time, not in your way but his way, not on your terms but his terms, not the way you want it but the way he wants it, my friend. Hey, just keep calling out and keep praying and keep praising and keep working and keep worshiping and keep doing what's right, because Jesus is coming by, and Jesus will stand still, and Jesus, my friend, will help you and lead you and guide you and direct you and make sure all his grace abounds upon your account. I need the Lord. And I look at my life and I realize I'm nothing. I'm doing the best I can. You're doing the best you can, I hope. Why should the Lord help me? Why should the Lord help you? You know why he does it? Because he loves you. And your voice, my voice, can stop Jesus Christ in his tracks. And Jesus Christ can help us. If you're here today, don't let them pass you by. If you need to be saved, call out to them. You might not believe like I believe, but Jesus Christ will pass you by. He's walking by your door. But there's going to be one day he keeps on going and never comes back. Won't you call on today to save you? Won't you call him today to forgive your sins? And my friend, if you're like me, you're trying to do the best you can as a Christian, and you're working hard, you're praying, you're reading your Bible, and people say, well, it's no good, just stop it, just throw in the towel. Keep on going. Keep on doing what's right, because the Lord will answer prayers. He'll do what only he can do. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. I thank you. Lord, I pray you'll help us with this. This man was blind, but he still used what he had. Even when people told him to stop, he kept on going. He cried out to Jesus Christ, and the Bible said, you stood still. I'm crying out to you tonight, today, Lord. I need your help. I need direction. I need answer to prayers. And I pray, Father, that I realize that you're there. You never left me. You never forsaken me. You're right there with me. And Lord, I pray you don't give me what I deserve, but you'll give me mercy. Give me grace. I don't want what I deserve. I want you. Lord, I need you in my life. No doubt others does as well. I pray you'll help us this morning. Lord, may we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. May we step out of the way and allow the Lord to work. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, if you will, and we give the invitation. If you need help from the Lord this morning, the altars are open. Wasn't a salvation message, but I want to ask you this question. If you're listening to the sound of my voice and you know you need to be saved, would you just slip your hand up and say, preacher, you pray for me. I'm not right with the Lord. I'm not saved. And I want you to pray for me. Would you just slip your hand up for me? I won't come to you. I won't call you. I won't make you embarrassed. All I want to do is pray for you. Will you just slip it up real quick and say, preacher? If you slip your hand up, you'll be saying, preacher, pray for me. I'm lost. I'm lost. I need to be saved. Please pray for me. Maybe here this morning, Christian, you say, preacher, I'm blind. Not physical blind, but spiritually I'm blind. I don't understand what's going on. There's things that's taking place in my life I don't understand. I don't know why the things is happening the way they are. And preacher, I want you to pray for me. It's not sin. It's nothing you can even imagine. But preacher, just things that's going on in my life right now, I don't understand. And I need you to help me pray. Would you just slip your hand up for me? I'll pray for you. I won't call your name out. I see that hand. I see those hands. Preacher, I see that hand. Pray for me. I see that hand, that hand. I see that hand in the back. I've got something going on in my life I don't understand. I don't know why it's come my way, but it is. And I'm going to have to deal with it. Preacher, help me pray. I see that hand. God bless you. Is there another? Is there another? God bless you. I see that hand and that hand. I see that hand, that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else, preacher, please pray for me. I've got something in my life right now I can't handle. And I need somebody to help. I need somebody to pray. I'm going to help you pray for it. I'm going to help you pray about it. But here's my advice to you. You just keep on doing what's right. You just keep on praying yourself. Believing who God is, that He's faithful, righteous, and just. And then I want you to do this for me. When the Lord shows up and take care of your problem, I want you to come tell me that Jesus fixed it all. Jesus can do it. He can help you. He's the answer. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your blessings, and your favor in our lives. And Lord God, so many people raised their hand and said, preacher, there's something difficult going on in my life, and I understand. I don't understand it. I don't understand how it come my way, why it come my way, or even how to handle the problem I'm in. Lord, I want to pray with them this morning. Lord, we realize who you are, that you're God. You're the one that spoke this world into existence. And I want to pray for them that you'll help them. That you'll show them the way, God, that you'll lead them through the storm they're in and get them to the other side. And Father, the whole time they're in this problem, they're in this dilemma they're in, I pray they'll never take their eyes off the Lord. But God, they would continue to have faith in Thee. And God, when You answer their prayers, You'll be answering my prayer. You'll be answering our prayers. Can we pray with them? We pray for them. Help them. Lord, help them rejoice in the goodness of God. Help them be glad and sing praises unto Thee. Lord, we pray for those who might leave lost and know without Jesus. Speak to their hearts about salvation. Help them today. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless.